Been working on this since September, and today is the last installment of that Bible engagement project. I hope that it's been an encouragement to you to get in your Bible and read that. We've kind of hit the highlights throughout the year of different subjects in Scripture, and today we close it out. We are in the book of Revelation. Now, that is singular. It's not the book of Revelations. All right, a little pet peeve of mine, get it right. It is the Revelation, and it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here is the conclusion of all of Scripture. It's Revelation 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to skip down to verse 21. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to open it. Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.' Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Verse 21. "The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its glory." I lost my spot here. "For the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. There shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So what we've just read is the conclusion of the whole matter. The Bible is a big book, and if you are working through it, if you are reading it, God bless you. You'll get to the end eventually, and say you have to read the Bible, within a certain time frame. You can read it as fast or slow as you need to. But all we say is be in the Word of God frequently. And so what we have read here is the conclusion of all of Scripture. And if we take the time to read this passage and really contemplate what we have just read, and all the ramifications of what it tells us, I think it would take a long time for us to fully appreciate what God has prepared. Now, to the person who knows Christ as their Savior and Lord, to the person whom the Holy Spirit in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, this will be like life to you. Now, for those who don't know Christ as their Savior and Lord, the unredeemed mind, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10 has this to say, and it's speaking about all that we've just read here. Paul writes, he says, "But as it is written, for the unredeemed mind, mind you, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So, again, it doesn't make sense. It hasn't entered into their mind. It hasn't entered into their heart. It has not been revealed to them. This world is all that they know. People who don't have a living relationship with Christ, you know, that there are all kinds of isms and philosophies out there, but and belief systems. But, you know, at the end of life, you know, maybe the best you could hope for is that you just turn back into dirt. You know, that there's nothing beyond this life, that there's nothing to go to, or, you know, there's all kinds of other philosophies and thoughts and belief systems out there. But for the Christian and for the believer, we have a hope that is beyond this life. Now, for, you know, a lot of ways, you know, life is wonderful and we enjoy life here. But we have to admit, it is pockmarked, it is blighted, it is at times ruined by all of the things that we encounter in it. And to those who have not yet found Christ, their eye hasn't seen, their ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into their heart the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But for those who are redeemed, okay, and I pray that's you today, verse 10 follows that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And that's why when we read a passage like Revelation 21, okay, something happens to the redeemed heart. When we read something like this, something happens inside of us. It's like being lost in the ocean in a lifeboat. And for days and days, you see nothing but water, nothing on the horizon. And day after day, you're floating and bouncing around with uncertainty and wind and waves and storms. And then one day, the sun dawns and you see land on the horizon. What would happen to you at that moment? It's like, you know, you wouldn't be wondering, well, I wonder what land that is. I don't know if we want to go there or not. It's like, man, that is land, that is where I'm going. Get out of my way. And that's what it's like, you know, for the person who knows Christ as their Savior and Lord. You know, in this life, we can just be bouncing around and facing storms and wind and waves and nothing on the horizon. But for the person who knows Christ, we read this description in Scripture, the conclusion of the entire matter. It's like land on the horizon. It's like, that is where I'm going. That is the place I want to be. And hope surges within us. And that is what our spirit connects with. Now, when we take the whole story of the Bible, and, you know, we started in September, and we kind of hit all the mountain peaks from there to here, and here we are at the conclusion of the whole matter in the book of the Revelation. When we take the story of the Bible as a whole, what God had created, remember way back in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in it was perfection. And that is what God's intent was, for you and I to live in that perfect state. That was God's will. Unfortunately, sin entered through the disobedience of man, and sin came in and has wrecked and ruined everything. Everything that we know is touched by sin. And you say, well, Pastor Brown, that's a pretty pessimistic frame of mind to say that. Well, I would ask you, name one thing that is not affected by sin. It is all affected by sin. We get married, right? We get married. And, when you're getting ready to be married, you cannot think in any way whatsoever you would ever disagree about anything, right? I mean, it's going to be marriage bliss. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful. You know, it's like everybody else has problems, but we are in love. And then what happens? Selfishness happens, right? And it's not as perfect as we thought it was. Sin has entered into everything. In Alaska, we enjoy living in Alaska. And we live here 9 months so that we can live here for 3 months. Isn't that true? I mean, it's like all these people that come up and visit Alaska in the summertime, it's like, get out of my way. We deserve this, you know. And we love it. We love it in the summertime here. And, while the lower 48 is, 108, 112, what is that about? You know, we get 60 degrees. Perfect. That is perfect. I digress. But, the irony of all that is, we wait all, winter and we're excited. The snow has finally gone off the grass in our yards or whatever. We want to get outside. We want to enjoy the outdoors, and we get out there and it's just wonderful and beautiful, except we start hearing this little sound. It's like, right? Sin has affected everything. You know what that sound is? That's the sound of sin. Just remind yourself, okay? Every thorn bush, those beautiful little Sitka roses, nasty thorns on them. Raspberry bushes, so wonderful. Nasty, prickly things. That's sin. Sin has ruined creation. And it should remind us that we are not citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven with Christ. And all that we experience here is tainted. It is blighted by this thing called sin. And so, as I was saying, the story of the Bible, when it's taken as a whole, is about what God had created for us human beings. Perfection, beauty, peace, tranquility, and it being wrecked through sin, and it is the long journey back. And in Revelation 21, the end connects with the beginning. And we see the world experiencing this. Interesting passage in Romans chapter 8 and verses 21 through 23. I want to read it. It says, because the creation itself, what is the creation itself? We're talking about the earth. We're talking about the rocks and the trees and the streams and the mountains. Creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The earth itself will be liberated from the curse of sin. The things that we experience here on earth that aren't right, the creation itself is waiting for the liberation that you and I will experience when God comes and there is a new heavens and a new earth. Verse 22 is, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Boy, that's a powerful passage of Scripture. What that tells us, not only creation is waiting for its redemption, but our unredeemed bodies, these bodies that we now and presently live in, are not redeemed. Our soul might be redeemed, we might be saved, our spirit is saved, but these bodies, they are not yet redeemed. Now, we covered that last week at the when we talked about the rapture of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortality will put on immortality, and then these bodies will be redeemed. But right now, not so redeemed. Have you ever groaned? Have you ever sighed? Have you ever cried? Yeah, that's because these bodies are not yet redeemed. Romans was telling us here, we groan within ourselves. Have you ever been at the funeral of somebody that you loved and done a little groaning? Have you ever cried? Have you ever shed tears? Have you ever just let out a sigh? Why? Why do we do that? It's because our spirit knows. Somehow, it's written in our DNA, the way God created us. It is written in our soul that this isn't right. We've all been at the funeral of somebody that we love. Some, we say, left us much too early. They didn't live the full life that we thought they should have lived. And we just think that is so wrong. And you know what? We are correct. God did not create us to live just shallow and short lives. He created us to live forever. And that's written in our DNA. And somehow we know that. We know that, even if we don't know that, we know that. Because every time we cry, every time we grieve, every time we feel pain, our bodies groan. Because we know that this is not the way it should have been. And our spirit knows that. And here we find ourselves groaning within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Even the creation is groaning as someone who has a terminal disease and is in pain. It is sick, it is wrecked, and it longs to be as it was before sin. So the subject that we are talking about today is new heavens and a new earth. Why do we have this promise? Why new? Why can't we just fix the old one? Well, 2 Peter enlightens us further on that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night," and this is important for us, "in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements," what is the elements? Rocks and grass and water and trees and the earth. "The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" In other words, you don't want to be part of that renovation that's going on there. We ought to live as he opened up, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." We must be prepared, not after the fact, but before the fact. And that's why we ought to consider living our lives in our holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens being be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what we're looking for. That's what our spirit longs for. Every time we lay someone in the grave, every time we groan, every time we cry, every time we bleed, that should be a reminder that this is not our home. This is not what God intended. Every time we experience the travesty of sin, it affects our lives. It affects our lives on a daily basis. We should be reminded of that. We often hear the phrase, heaven on earth. Don't fall for it. It's a lie. There is no heaven on earth. I know that sounds really mean to say. There is no heaven on earth. Everything is affected. Everything is flawed by sin. I will say this, is that we get glimpses. We get little samples, if you will. It's like scarce sunlight breaking through a cloud cover. Have you ever experienced that? You ever been under thick cloud cover and all of a sudden a little hole opens up and sunlight streams through, and it just, the glimpses of heaven here on earth are kind of like that in my thought. That's my thought. I'm no doubt you've had similar experiences, but I had a wonderful privilege one time of traveling on a beautiful boat. It was large, it was very comfortable with a couple of families. I was invited to go along, and the trip was to go from the Seward Harbor around the outside of the Kenai Peninsula to the Homer Harbor. And, oh, I tell you, from the get-go, it was a glorious experience. And I remember the first night, you know, we traveled out of Resurrection Bay, and we turned west, and started to make our way down that rugged coastline, and the glaciers, and the wildlife. The water out there was so clear. And I remember we were trolling, silver salmon were coming in at that time, and it was so clear you could see your bait, your lure down there in the water, and a silver salmon coming up out of who knows where, coming up and taking that, and oh man, I tell you, it's so beautiful. And we anchored up for the night. I don't know what the bay was, but we were out at a place called Pilot Rock, and I remember, you know, we were catching some rock bass, and it was just such amazing beauty. And you know, I looked up, and the sun was kind of facing us and streaming down, and just everything had a kind of a golden glow lit about it, you know. And I remember, you know, whales were spouting, and tails, you know, were flipping out of the water, and there were seabirds and porpoise, and we were catching fish, and I just thought, this is what God intended. and how in the world do you capture that in a little tiny camera? You know, here you have this fantastic thing that's going on, and you try to take a picture, and you try to show it to somebody, and it's so unimpressive, you know? You say, hey, look at this picture, this is amazing. And you go, yeah, right, you know, I've seen that 100 times. No, you haven't. How do you compress all of that into that? It doesn't work. And, you know, we experience these glimpses of heaven, glimpses of glory, glimpses and pictures and samplings of what God had intended. And it thrills us, and our soul connects to that, says, yes, that's it, that's what I want. That's the world I want to live in. But it only lasts a moment, it only lasts a minute, and then we move on, and we remember these momentary glimpses of what God had intended the world to be from the beginning. Now, to be honest, the Bible doesn't elaborate in detail about heaven. I've been told, I haven't made the study myself, that Jesus himself actually spoke twice as often on the subject of hell than he did heaven. Kind of interesting study to make. But the Bible doesn't really fill in a lot of detail. Now, we get some here in the Revelation, you know, there's going to be 12 gates of the city. Each gate is going to be made of one pearl. And there's going to be streets of gold that are such pure gold, it's transparent like glass. I don't get that. But that's what the Bible says. And there's going to be, those kinds of things. There's going to be no sun. There's going to be no moon. Why? Because the glory of God illuminates the city. Hey, good news, too. There's no temple. There's no church. You don't have to go to church in heaven. It is heaven, right? Think about that. You don't have to sit in here and miss the Kenai parade, right? You don't have to listen to another sermon. Why? Because Jesus will be there. Yes. No more prayer meetings. No more prayer meetings. You don't have to pray. Why? Because it will be there. Yeah. It will blow your mind. That being said, there's not a lot of detail about day-to-day life in heaven, and I don't know. Do we eat? What age are we in heaven? I don't know. A lot of interesting questions. But we do know this, is that the saved of earth from Adam onward will be in heaven. People that died in Christ that we have buried will be there, and we will be together forever. There will be no more parting. There will be no more separation. There will be no more of those things that are so familiar to us here on earth. Now, into that void of the detail and minutiae of heaven, I've heard a lot of people who have made the claims, and I'm not making a judgment here, I'm just stating what I've seen and heard in books and all that, that have made the claim of, you know, being here on earth, going to heaven through an accident or tragedy, or just being transported there, and they experience heaven, and then they come back to earth, and their job is to tell us all about it. And I've heard all kinds of things about it. And this is just me. If you find that exciting, that's great. But I really have not heard one thing that excites me all that much. I've heard of different activities and things that they supposedly have seen or were told, transportation in heaven and all of that. It's things that are not included in Scripture and all. And honestly, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry if that disappoints you. In Revelation 21:4, and I'll read it again for us, okay? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Think of that. You will never cry again. There shall be no more death. You know, my father passed away a few years ago, and I miss him to this day. There were so many things we wanted to do together yet. Can't do them here. He's gone. But there, that will never happen. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow. What makes you sad? There'll be no more sorrow, nor crying. What makes you cry? There will be no more of that. Whatever that is, there will be no more of that. There will be no more pain. Can you imagine that? No more pain. I believe that's emotional as well as physical pain. It will be gone. There will be no more. For the former things, all of those things are going to be passed away. It won't happen anymore. And I want to ask the question, isn't that enough? Have your other stories and things. I don't care. That's what I long for. When I read that, my spirit and my soul says, yes, that's what it's all about. That's what I connect with. I've heard all kinds of stories from roller coasters in heaven to flying around. Tell you what, take my place. I don't care. I want no more crying and no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. That's what I want. That's what my spirit, when I read that, I can't help but long for it. I can't help but groan deep in my spirit because what we have now is so far from that. You know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, I want to go to heaven and everything, but, you know, I want to get married first or I want to have children first, you know. I was like, you know what? It hasn't been revealed to you yet. Those are wonderful things. And those are glimpses of heaven. Those are glimpses of what God intended for us. Beautiful, wonderful things. But what God has in store for us does not even compare. They're not even on the same level. And I pray this, is that you and the Holy Spirit have a connection that begins to reveal this to you in a way that is so real, that is so powerful, that is so absolutely life-changing to you. Because that's what we're living for. We're not looking for a better version of this. We're looking for what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's what we're looking for. And that's where we are. We have our citizenship. That's where God has prepared for us a place. Yeah. Let me be straight up with you, and I'm going to ask the worship team to be preparing to lead us in a final song today. Heaven is not for everyone. I don't know if you caught that when we were reading through Revelation 21 there. Revelation 21, verse 8, tells us quite plainly, it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral. What does sexually immoral mean? I mean, those who have sexual relationships outside of marriage. You don't have to get into the homosexuality thing. You don't have to get into the transsexual thing. You don't have to get into any of that. Those who are sexually immoral, those who have a sexual relationship outside of marriage, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Doesn't matter if you're a really good person, but if you're unbelieving, the Bible straight up tells us just like it is. But there is a way, there's a wonderful way to know that what God has prepared for those who love Him is yours. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it begins by admitting that we are sinners. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned. So everybody in this room is at the same level. Nobody's better than the other one because we are all sinners. Romans 6:23 goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, and that's the problem. The the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. The second step is to believe. Romans 10 says, for the heart one believes unto righteousness. What do we believe? Well, we believe that Jesus is ready and willing and able to forgive you of your sin, to erase the fact that we're all sinners. And when God looks at you, you are no longer a sinner. You are someone who has been saved by grace. Heaven is created for you. And then we move right into that last step, and this is the critical one, is that we confess Jesus as our Savior, Lord. Romans 10:9 says that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. What's the conclusion there? You will be saved. And the Holy Spirit will come in and start to turn on the lights, start to illuminate Scripture to you, start to illuminate the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we have the promise of eternal life.